Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm Greg Deering. Today I'm joined by Thomas Eisenbarth, the 2025 Rural Minds Matter Young Advocate of the Year Award winner. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that we were able to make this work and come out and do this in a recorded fashion. I know this is a huge award for the Farm Bureau has started, and it's great to have an advocate like you be willing to share your stories and talk about mental health. So excited to get into this today. I think to start, let's just have you get a little bit about your background, what got you started in agriculture, and how you grew up.
Like I said, my name is Thomas Eisenbarth. I grew up in Onega, Kansas, but we're sitting here on the family farm. My uncle lives here now, but this would have been where my dad grew up. And so I'll be fifth generation on this land here. But growing up, I spent more time here than I did in town. But we still do raise cow-calf pairs and put up a little bit of hay during the summer. But this is always my spot growing up. So
nice. And obviously, we're talking about mental health. Never been a better time to be a cow-calf producer than right now, right? And we have a guest here showing up. So,
but yeah, things are pretty good right now in the cow-calf world. But as we all know, markets rise and then markets fall. So we'll enjoy it while it's here.
Was there a specific experience or moment that kind of inspired you to take action with mental health, or was it more of a gradual process?
I remember being 3 or 4 years old, and you had kind of an unfortunate situation, a tragedy here within the family with an uncle making a permanent decision. And that definitely affected everyone's life. But being at that age and kind of seeing the dynamics and how everything played out definitely had a significant impact on me growing up. And then just never really having any conversations about it. And then history almost repeated itself with my generation 4 or 5 years ago. And so I've been going through a few struggles myself. I finally said enough's enough, and I sought out therapy, and I still go to therapy. I'll talk to anyone about it, but that definitely changed the trajectory of, I think, my God-given purpose.
Yeah,
as far as what I'm supposed to do. So,
obviously you've sought help and received that help. How have those conversations with your family members gone since then?
They've gone really well.
Kind of changed the mindset of you can talk about some hard things now that you couldn't before, or maybe just didn't have the language to talk about.
Absolutely, to be able to have those conversations, and it is a certain type of language where kind of in the therapy world, which it's a really odd thing because that world and agriculture are both, they're absolute opposites is what they are. So that's been kind of an interesting experience being in the middle and understanding both sides of those conversations. So
what does being the Rural Minds Matter Young Advocate of the Year mean to you?
It simply means to me that I now have a platform that I was excited about the award, and it means a lot. Farm Bureau has been a great door to be opened, to be able to have my voice to find people that are hurting. But to me, it's simply a platform. It's one more way to get to those people that are hurting and be able to help people.
I know you mentioned having a platform. I know one of the big parts of the award is helping break down the stigma. What are some of the examples that you have of helping break down stigma around mental health?
And so, you know, over the last 6 months, I've started an initiative called Grounded, to where I naturally, my God-given talents, I'm able to connect with people and just be a safe place for people. And I never really realized it until I went through my own struggles, but just the natural conversations that I'm able to have with people and make people feel safe, valued, seen, understood. And so I needed to figure out a way to get my God-given talents out to the people that are hurting. So through Grounded, I've been able to do that. Through Grass and Grain, they've been great publishing some of my writing, some of my random thoughts. And then the other thing that I've noticed, I have a personal rule that anybody around me, if they called me any hour of the night, we hop in my truck, we drive around, they get to pick the music, and I call that dirt road therapy. And so the things that I've learned within myself through some of those late night drives with some people in my life is how to structure those conversations and how to make people feel safe and feel understood when they do ask for help. Because the motto and kind of the lingo is reach out, ask for help. But those conversations, when that person is brave enough to reach for help, the receiving end has to be structured in such a way that that person feels safe. So to be able to be that safe space, when somebody does reach out.
What are some, I guess, good ways to respond? If you ask someone, hey, are you okay? And they say no, because I think I have a similar background to you in that, yeah, hey, I'm okay. I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Everything's good.
But I don't
think nobody's prepared for that.
Right.
I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. So I have just accidentally and through those late night drives, I'm able to remember it as V squared, or V squared to be the first part would be validation, where, hey, what you're feeling is human, and especially in agriculture, because agriculture is one of the most uncontrollable ways to make a living that there is. The stress, the lack of sleep, the lack of taking care of yourself. So for you to be hurting is completely natural, completely human. So you need to validate those feelings, like, hey, it's okay that you feel that way, because this is hard. Like, this is a hard way to make a living. So the first part, validation, and then to lead in with the second V would be vulnerability, to say, hey, I've been there too, and to be completely open and honest about how that person shouldn't feel alone. But there's a lot of people that have been through similar things.
Great stuff. In addition to that, I mean, the V squared is great. What have you learned about yourself through this process? What has shaped you? How have you changed through this journey?
Probably really honing in on being that safe place and that safe bubble, I guess you would say, where you're in that truck cab, that conversation's happening, but to be able to really hone in and be on the receiving end of those types of things and be very intentional about how those conversations are structured.
What's the next step for your advocacy efforts?
The late night thinking that I've done about a lot of things, but rural Kansas is set up into small cells and small ecosystems. And I think the first logical place that change has started, and I'm excited about it, and it's amazing, but it's been rural healthcare. So places like the Kansas Innovation Health Network and different conversations that I've had with an awesome person named Kayla Anderson with LandLogic. So we're starting to get ourselves into rural healthcare settings, which is a great first step. But I don't know that I know very many farmers that are going to willingly walk into a hospital if they're not physically hurt, like if they're not missing a limb or something. So I think the next part of the chain that we need to figure out is how to get all of those awesome ideas boots on the ground. We have to literally get them to the farmers and the ranchers. And I think, like I was talking earlier about translating between the two worlds, there has to be a link there to go from the healthcare setting to the farm, to the ranch, mm-hmm. and to be able to literally translate the two worlds in the two different languages. So I think that's kind of the space that I find myself in, is communicating between the two worlds.
What role do you see, I mean, friends and neighbors having in this? I mean, obviously, the healthcare sector is a vital aspect of this. Not everybody needs professional help. Sometimes they just need somebody to talk to, and it can get pretty lonely out here. I know on the drive out, you go miles without another house around.
Yeah, and kind of back to the ecosystem of rural life. I mean, there's awesome neighbors to the south, there's awesome neighbors to the east, and some good neighbors north and west. But farm life exists in those little silos, in those little neighborhoods. So to come up with some kind of peer-to-peer network to where somebody of influence or somebody from each of those different neighborhoods could have some basic understanding of, hey, when someone does reach out for help, this is how I'm going to receive it, and to be comfortable having those conversations.
What do you think communities, schools, organizations like Farm Bureau can do to improve access and spread the message?
I think something that you're doing very well at is giving people a voice from the farm, a voice from the ranch, to be able to affect change in one way or another.
What message would you want to leave listeners with about mental health in rural areas, about seeking help?
Change is happening. like I said, it's starting with the rural healthcare system, but I'm very, very excited for the next 5 to 10 years. And I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I think about what their life could be like in the next 10, 15, 20 years. And I picture a very, very, very safe culture within agriculture where if any of them did struggle and have anything happen in life, that they would feel comfortable reaching out and talking about things.
Thomas Eisenbarth, the 2025 Rural Minds Matter Young Advocate of the Year Award. Thomas, thanks for coming on.
Yep, thanks for driving out.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, please give it a like and share with others. I'm Greg Deering, and this has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture.